This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Why We Travel. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Antarctica is the coldest and windiest continent in the world. Despite the less than inviting conditions, last year about 40,000 people went there as tourists. It's very expensive to get there, but if you can afford it, you'll see great wildlife and icebergs. But these icebergs are melting. The landscape of Antarctica is changing with global warming, and some people want to see it before it's too late, but going there contributes to the problem. Comedian John Oliver talked about this conundrum on HBO's Last Week Tonight.
I know we're not supposed to go to Antarctica, but there are free penguins and snow cones there. So they're going to have to launch a pretty strong anti-tourist campaign, or we'll do it for them.
So here's what they came up with.
An unspoiled land of incredible ice formations that you simply have to see. And seeing as how you're looking at them right now, you've technically seen them. So don't come here. Seriously.
But still, we all want to go, right? I would go if I had the chance. Alan Yu talked to people who have gone to Antarctica, and he found out how they feel about that guilty pleasure.
Travel blogger Sherry Ott has been all over the world. Borneo, Mongolia, Nepal. But Antarctica was life-changing.
I always say, when people ask me about Antarctica, that it's like the closest you can get to leaving this planet. And this was the first place ever that I had been where clearly people were not in charge. It was the wildlife that owned this land.
The icy continent goes down to more than negative 70 degrees Fahrenheit in winter, but it's not completely desolate. There are more than 40 research stations. Scientists stay there, but there's no native population. One of Sherry's favorite Antarctica memories is visiting an island off the coast. When she got there, she found 60,000 penguins, all waddling around and squawking.
One of my best days on Earth was being able to go to that island, and we had like 4 hours where we could just sit there and walk around, and I could just sit on the beach, and king penguins would just walk right up to you. Like, in the stiller you sat, pretty soon you get surrounded by them. And when you get thousands of them together, it just, you know, you can't even hear yourself talk sometimes. It can be so loud. Oh, the smell. You'll never forget the smell. The smell of guano is not a good smell. But then you kind of realize, like, I'm going to get this once-in-a-lifetime chance, and I don't even care how it smells.
Antarctica is a place where you can see icebergs breaking apart. And when you see that, it's hard to ignore how climate change is affecting the planet. As a visitor, you contribute to that climate change and melting ice. Getting there involves flying somewhere and taking a ship, and you repeat both things on the way back.
I want people to go to Antarctica, and I don't. I wish everyone could see it once, somehow.
Last year, Sherry went to one of the Antarctic islands with an expedition leader. He had been going there for decades. On this trip, it was the first time they could actually set foot on this island during tourist season because it had gotten so warm that the ice around it melted.
And when you hear someone say that, that's one of those, like, uh-oh moments.
Climate change is this abstract, looming problem we hear about on the news. But now, Sherry was seeing it in front of her.
I have another level of it as a writer where I'm kind of making it worse, because then I come back and I write about these places and I get people excited about going there, and I'm even perpetuating the problem even more.
The scientists who go to Antarctica feel some pressure as well. Heather Lynch studies penguins, and she's been there multiple times. She says that every trip she takes to Antarctica comes with a lot of carbon emissions from the flight and the ship. She's racked up a carbon debt, if you will.
All of us, scientists included, come back every year in debt, and we spend the rest of the year repaying that debt. And in our case, you know, we try and do that by making sure that the data we collect really ends up contributing to management of the Antarctic.
She is an associate professor of ecology and evolution at Stony Brook University in New York. She's studying how climate change is affecting the penguins, and part of that involves doing kind of a penguin census. Heather and her staff literally count every single nest and chick. This would not be possible without an assist from the ships that ferry tourists back and forth. Science and tourism have forged kind of an alliance in Antarctica. To get to Antarctica, Heather gets a free ride from a tour company. In exchange, she gives lectures to other passengers to explain her work.
We would have to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just on paying for those trips.
Tourists can also help scientists by collecting air samples or sending in pictures of whales. Conservation scientist Justine Shaw says there's another thing to consider when travelers go to Antarctica.
When we're standing there and we, you know, we have snot running out of our nose and cells coming off our body, that's actually, technically, it's pollution in Antarctica because we're introducing bacteria and viruses that have never been there.
Justine works at the University of Queensland in Australia. Almost all tour operators follow very strict protocols, down to detailed instructions for how to wash your boots every time you get on and off the ice. But Justine says despite the careful guidelines, humans can still introduce flies and invasive weeds that have taken full advantage of warming temperatures.
The easy thing to do would be just to say, everyone, put down your tools, put down your toys and walk away, let Antarctica do its thing. But that's not going to happen.
Scientists need to go to Antarctica to study everything from climate change to astrophysics. And Justine says tourists play a role too.
No tourist goes to Antarctica and comes back and says, oh yeah, it's not that great. Everyone is moved by its beauty, its uniqueness, and people getting to see it understand how special and valuable it is, and they get to understand what a risk climate change is to Antarctica. So it's a catch-22. People need to see something to know how valued it is.
That story came from reporter Alan Yu, and special thanks again to travel blogger Sherry Ott for letting us use all of the sounds she recorded and the pictures she took.